there are little pieces of metal lying around the farmyard. We had a brand new X-ray machine at the college. Our professors were proud of this because it allowed us to see what was going on inside the animal. This X-ray capability was going to change veterinary medicine. It was going to make us all smarter and better animal doctors. After we diagnosed this cow with hardware, we sent her to the new X-ray department. The X-ray came back negative. "No metal in this cow," we were told. "Look again," our professors told us. "She does not have hardware." So then we examined this cow again. Same thing. Elevated temperature, stomach's not working, pain. Diagnosis, hardware. We sent her back to the X-ray department and got the same result. There is no metal in this cow. So the professors put her in the stable to see what would happen. And what happened was that she died. So then they sent this cow to pathology. There was the stomach, the heart, the lungs on a table. And they said to us, "Take a look at this." And that cow had hardware. Except that it wasn't metal, which was why that expensive X-ray machine didn't pick it up. It was a broom bristle 6 inches long. That cow had swallowed it, and it had punctured the stomach wall and was going into the heart, and it had killed the cow. If we had listened to what the cow was telling us, "Hey, I got some hardware inside my stomach," we would have done surgery, opened up the stomach, taken out the broom bristle, closed up the stomach, and given her some antibiotics, and she would have been fine. So I learned how to be a hands-on veterinarian, an old-style vet. I use all the wonderful machines we have, and I pay attention to what the animal's owner tells me. But mostly, I look at the animal, I put my hands on the animal, and I listen to what that animal is telling me. I have been practicing animal medicine for nearly a half century. I've treated just about every type of creature you can imagine, from a white mouse to a 2,600-pound horse. And I've discovered that the longer I have been in practice, the smarter the animals have gotten. I have spent my whole life being with animals, as a vet and as an owner. Until they start inventing new animals, I think I can say there isn't a type of animal I haven't looked in the eyes and wondered how it was feeling. My wife, Diane, and I once estimated that I've handled more than 500,000 patients without one of them ever complaining about me. In 2009, my son Charles, who had moved to Hollywood to be in the entertainment industry, thought that people might be interested in a television reality show about a farm vet. I asked him who he thought would be interested in watching an old man who speaks with a funny accent putting his hand up the back end of a cow. "You'd be surprised," he said. "Yes, I would," I agreed. "Everybody likes animals," he explained. "Every day in the practice is very different," he said. "You're dealing with life and death all the time and doing it with patients who can't tell you where it hurts. And unlike most city vets, you also have to consider the economic impact on the farmer's business. Besides," he added, "you're a character." I didn't know if your son calling you a character was a compliment. But when he also pointed out that we would be telling the story of American farmers in the Midwest, that got me intrigued. I come from a farming family. I know how difficult that life can be, and I know that is a story very much worth telling. So I agreed to let his camera crew follow our staff for a few days, still wondering if anyone was going to watch. It turned out Diane and I raised a smart son. When I opened my practice outside the small town of Weedman, Michigan, which is about 12 miles from the larger and better-known Mount Pleasant, in 1981, it was about 80% large animals, farm animals, and about 20% pets. It was mostly family dairy farms when we started, with several pig farmers. We took care of all their animals. But those family farms are mostly gone now. Instead, we have the big concerns that supply to the chain stores, and they have their own vets. The workhorses are mostly gone, too, and there are no more pig farmers. I remember that not too long after Diane and I moved to Mount Pleasant, I got a call from a farmer named Don Hatfield.